Praise God. Amen. Open your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter number 4. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, choir. We had pretty good singing around here last Sunday night, but it wasn't anything better than what we just had just now. Say amen right there. Amen. I appreciate so much God's gift in our church with so many wonderful singers and those who play the instruments. What a blessing from heaven. And if you've not been here in a couple of Sundays, or maybe you're just joining us on the internet or the radio, I have begun a series going through the New Testament called Written in Red in His Own Words. Written in red in His Own Words. Now, you understand, I understand that the Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's all God-breathed from Genesis 1 to the end of the book of Revelation. It's all God's Word. But we have recorded in the New Testament the words of our Lord as He spoke them written in red. And it was in my heart to go through all the New Testament and try to get them in chronicle order, if I can, and tie them together. You have what's called the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then John. He shares the Holy Ghost of God used him in a unique way to share things about our Lord. Some things are recorded in the first three Gospels that John doesn't deal with. And then there's some that they deal with differently. But the Holy Ghost of God was in all of that. He used all of them. But if you've been here, you know we started with the first words of Jesus recorded in the Bible when He was at age of 12 in the temple. And He said, "Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business?" And I was looking back over that this week, and that Father has a capital letter. Mary said, "Your Father and I were looking for you," and that Father has a little letter. But when He said, "My Father," it's a capital letter, because God the Father is His Father. And so then we dealt with His baptism and what He said to John at the baptism. And so we talked about that in baptism last week. Now this morning, I've got a few minutes here and then I'm going to introduce a subject to you. That's what I'm going to do, because I know it's going to take me a couple of services to deal with this. But I want us to look in Matthew chapter 4. The Lord Jesus Christ has just been baptized. And look at chapter 4, verse 1. Now look back at the last verse of chapter number 3. And it says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.'" And then chapter 4 begins, then. Mark says immediately. In other words, immediately after His baptism, He goes into the wilderness. Let me read it for you. "Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward a hunger. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' And He answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh Him up into the high city and holy city, and setteth Him upon a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto Him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone.' And Jesus said unto Him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' And again, the devil taketh Him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And He said unto them, 'All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then said Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil left him, and beholdeth, angels came and ministered unto him." Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Lord, we're glad, Lord, that we can know Him through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank You for the wonderful singing of the choir and Brother Brad just now. Lord, I pray we might know Him, as Paul wrote, that I might know Him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. God, I pray we know you, really know you, not know about you, but know you, to know you intimately and personally. I pray, our Father, that God, that you'd minister to us this morning. Our Father, I know that, Lord, in this building, that Father, every man faces temptation. I know that every woman faces temptation. Every boy and every girl, everyone in this building and in the media audience face temptation. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would speak to our heart from this passage of Scripture. Our Father, I pray that you'd make it real to me. Give me your anointing and power. God, I must have you. Oh, God, I confess there's no thing in me, Lord, no good thing in me, but God, you only can help and bless. God, I pray you'd move now my heart, heart of these friends, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here, the Bible records what happened right after Jesus got baptized. I'm going to just deal with a few things this morning. I'll try to do it quickly, and then we'll go and you'll come back tonight for Vacation Bible School. But in this little passage of Scripture, there are about four little things I want you to see, and I'll do it briefly if I can. First of all, I want you to notice the experience of our Lord's temptation. Then I want you to note the extent of his temptation. And then we need to see the example of his temptation and then the escape from temptation. I'll deal with these briefly, but I'll deal with them more in detail as we go along and thinking about this thought. Here it is significant that in the beginning of our Lord's ministry, before he ever changes water to wine, before he ever opens a blind eye, he is attacked by Satan. I want you to notice the experience that he had of temptation and what takes place. Here's something interesting. Notice verse 1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness. If you go back and look in the book of Luke testifies this in chapter 4 and verse 1, that Jesus Christ, being full of the Holy Spirit, was led into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit of God led Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now you say, Brother Billy, that doesn't seem right. How is it that God would have his own son to confront the devil? It looks like he wouldn't want him to do that. Well, can I tell you this? I don't think the devil wanted this meeting either. Not eyeball to eyeball. He is so conniving. He's such a liar. He's such a destroyer. He said the Bible says of Satan, he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He hates the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates the blood. He hates the Bible. He hates Christians. He hates humanity. He wants to be the king of this universe. But I don't think he really wanted to meet Jesus face to face in this setting. His mind goes back to an Old Testament passage, I'm sure, when the Lord, who's in control of everything, said, Jesus, you're going to go out into the wilderness, and Satan, you're going to go out there and tempt him. Remember the story? Job, the Bible says that Satan came before the Lord, and God said to him, said, where have you been? He said, I've been forth going to and fro upon the earth and dealing with people. And he said, how about my servant Job? Have you considered him? Oh, he had, because he knew all about him. He said, does Job serve thee for naught? He said, you put a hedge all the way around him. You're protecting him. And then he said, I'll take the hedge down. He said, if you take the hedge down, let me touch him. He said, he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord didn't answer this way, but it's in the understanding. He said, no, he will not. I know my servant Job. I know what he can do. And here this confrontation takes place. Satan's come against our Lord. And it is here in this time that we'll see a picture of what happened in the Garden of Eden. God made man out of the dust of the earth, breathing his nostrils, breath of life, put him in a perfect environment. He was created a sinless being. He didn't have sin. And he's put in a perfect environment, had a perfect wife. And he said, you can have anything here. You have dominion over everything here. Just one thing, that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, you know how the Satan became and beguiled Eve and tempted her. And then she in turn tempted her husband, and they sinned and they lost all of paradise. They were driven out of that, and all of mankind failed. We have what's called an Adamic nature because of that. We're born with a sin nature. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Every person in this room has a sinful nature. We are born in sin. We have a sin nature. We're alienated from God because of the sin of Adam. And because our head, Adam, sinned, then we lost everything and we came into that Adamic nature. We are by nature, the Bible said, children of wrath. But here the Lord Jesus Christ comes as the second Adam. And he's going to go through the same test. Right in the very beginning, right after his baptism, Satan is going to come against him and try to get into sin. He's not successful. He's not going to be able to defeat him. The Lord Jesus Christ has this experience of temptation. The devil came to attack him. If you'll notice what it says in this passage of Scripture, look at verse number 1. It says he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The devil. Then, if you will, look down a little bit further and notice what it says in verse 3. And when the tempter came to him. So he's the devil. He's the tempter. And then a little bit further on in over in verse number 10, it says this, and then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. So in this passage of Scripture, he's called the devil, he's called the tempter, and he's called Satan. And the Lord is confronted with him, and he is challenged by the devil. And notice what he's challenging. He said, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. And you see, everything that Jesus came to accomplish hinges on this one truth, that he is God incarnate in human flesh. You don't have to study comparative religions to know the truth. The truth is in this Bible. And if you'll know the truth of this Bible, then you won't have any problem recognizing error. And the truth of the matter is, you don't have to go through all the tenets of any kind of religion, whether it is Islam or whether it's Hindu or Confucianism or Christian Science or anything else. There's only one question you need to ask, and it'll answer every other question for you. What do they believe about Jesus? Is he God or not? Is he eternal God, co-equal, co-eternal with God? Is he God incarnate in human flesh? And the answer would be, he grew up to be a God. He was God's representative. He was a prophet. And all those answers are wrong. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said to Simon Peter, he said, who do men say that I am? He said, well, some say you're Elijah, prophet, one of the souls, so and so. He said, but who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Son of God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus Christ's deity was in question here. And that's what it's all about, to establish from the get-go that he is God in the flesh. And therefore, when you say, the other night, our family all went over to the grandsons to eat together. I walked up to the bar, and there was a black man there. He got talking about the food and got to using some profanity about it, this, that, and the other. And I put my arm around him, and I said, friend, I said, we got a good God, don't we? And I said, he gave us all this to eat. He said, yes, sir, he sure does. And I said, you know something? I said, he loves you. And he died for you. He died that you might have everlasting life. And then he said this, but I got to obey him. I got to do right. And I said, you know what? The Bible said, not by works of righteousness we've done, but according to his grace. I said, you know, if you ever get saved, you get saved by grace through faith. He just gave it to you. It was a gift of God. And listen, some people have separated the Lord Jesus Christ from God so far that they want to have a relationship with God, but not with Jesus. They'll let you talk about God all over everywhere. But the thing is, when you start praying in Jesus' name and you start identifying him as God incarnate in human flesh, that's when everything goes haywire with them. Because that Satan hates the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he's challenging that. And this is, God orchestrated all of this so that he'd be testified to that he was the Son of God and it'd be recorded for us in this Bible. And you see, you say, well, I've got to answer to God. I've got to answer to God. Jesus said, the word that I speak unto you, they're life. And the words that I speak unto you, they'll judge you in the last days. Jesus Christ is our mediator, one God between and one mediator between God and man, and his name is Jesus. And the way you have connection with God is not by doing good things, but by being born again by the grace of God, by receiving Jesus Christ, his son, as your personal savior. And then when you get saved, my dear friend, then you live the life. Then you're obedient to him. But in this passage of scripture, Satan comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he challenges him. Now in the Bible, I would mention this to you. The Bible says this to us that in 1 Peter, that we are dealt with this way by Satan. We battle with the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Now, in these three challenges, each one of those, Satan challenged him that way, the lust of the flesh. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. And by the way, I don't think this recorded dialogue is the first occasion. I think for 40 days, Satan had been there harassing him. But we begin this dialogue, he's been fasting for 40 days, and then it said, and he was hungered. Jesus Christ became hungry. Some of you may have fasted. God may have ordered a fast in your life. And you'll find that if God orders you fast, that there are thoughts in your mind. But this has been my experience over the year. If God is really in it, I really, really don't get hungry. And my family's around and they say something, doesn't it bother you that everybody else is eating, not you? I said, no, not at all. I don't have any hunger right now. But Jesus was literally hungry and Satan came to him, lust of the flesh. And he said, if you're the Son of God, you can speak to these stones and change them into bread. By the way, he said I'm sure he remembered when God rained down manna out of heaven, angels' food, and fed the children of Israel in the wilderness. I'm sure he remembered that. I'm sure he remembered how the Lord opened the rock and waters came out. He remembered that. There's a connection between the rocks and the bread and all of that. But anyhow, he said, you can speak to that rock right there and it'd become bread. Why don't you do that? Prove to the world, prove to everybody, prove to people around that you are the Son of God. Fulfill the desire of your flesh of hunger. And everybody in this building battles the problem of flesh. The word tempt, he is the tempter. He's the tempter. There is in that word tempter the word of seduction, the meaning of seduction. He's an aggressor, he's an attacker, he's a murderer, and all those things. But the word tempting means to seduce. The Bible said that we commit sin when we are drawn out and enticed after our own lust. Now, I have preached to you, shared this with you before, that I do like to fish. And I like to fish topwater baits, underwater bait, but I really like to fish topwater bait because I just love it because it gives me just a rush when he hits that topwater bait. Years ago, my daddy used to fish with old wooden baits and everything. There's one called a Zaragoza. It's called a spook now, but it's an old Zaragoza wooden bait, had glass eyes, and we'd fish that bait. And it has no spinners, nothing on it. It's just a stick of wood painted, looks like a fish, got hooks on it. But a bass cannot stand it if you put it in the right place at the right time and make it do the right thing. My daddy tell me, he said, throw that bait in the shadow of the tree. Always in the shadow. Throw it back in the shadows of the tree. And he said, you let it lay there. Let all the rings get around it. And then once all the rings are out of the way, he said, I want you to move it, but don't move it. I said, what do you mean? He said, I want it to move, but don't move it from where it's at. He said, I want you to just take that bait and let it just do like that. And he said, if there's a bass there, he'll hit it because he can't help himself. It's built in him. And you know what the devil does? He'll take and he'll lay something in front of you, fleshly, and he'll just shake it. He won't move it out of place. It'll stay right there in front of you. It'll stay in your mind all night. It'll stay in your heart all day. And it's all you get consumed by. It's right there. And he said, listen, we sin when we are drawn out and enticed after our own lust. And when that happens, he said, and when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. Temptation is not sin. And you have an old nature. But that responding to that temptation is a sin. And Jesus did not respond to the temptation of the flesh. Then there is the lust of the eye. He took him and he said, you see all of this? You see all of this? He said, I'll give you every bit of this. And you say, well, he didn't have that authority, but he does. And I don't have time to go into it, but he is the God of this world. He is the God of this world. And we'll share that with you in a later study. But he said, look at this. Look at it. Just look at it. Look at it. And my dear friend, there's the lust of the eye. And that's why it's important for ladies to dress modestly, for men to dress modestly, and to act like Christians. And that's why we have to be careful of what we see. The Bible talks about the eye gate, and it talks about that it can defile the whole body, what you see. And he battles with him with the lust of the eye. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, look at all this. Then there's not only the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye, but there's the pride of life. He said, why don't you just cast yourself down off this temple? And I was reading some, and they said it's I believe it's the southeast corner, and the wall there, that it was 450 feet drop. Jump off a football field and a half and fall on the pavement down here. And he said, but you won't ever hit the ground. He said, if you jump off here, the Bible said in Psalms 91, his angels will bear you up. He said, you can jump up before you ever get to the ground. They'll catch you. If you're the Son of God, the pride of life, pride. Just show off and just let people know who you really are. The pride of life. My dear friend, he'll battle you in all those areas. Well, I'm through. That's not even the first part. I'm not even through that. But I do want to say this to you. I want to talk just briefly about the second point, and that is the extent of his temptation. Not recorded here, but recorded in the book of Hebrews, it says this, that he was tempted in every point as we are without sin. Every point. This is a pretty good crowd here this morning. And you can take a piece of paper, write about the things that bother you, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, pride of life. What is your sin? Is it jealousy? Is it covetousness? Is it adultery? Is it lying? Is it cheating? What is it? What is it that tempts you? Is it gain? Is it money? Is it popularity? What is it? What is it that you're tempted with? Tempted with. The reason people get arrested for embezzling is because they can't resist the temptation of it. The reason people get arrested for stealing is because they can't control that desire to steal or to get something. The reason there's robberies and murders and rapes is because of temptation, and they don't know how to handle it. But can you imagine all the temptations of everybody just in this room? And could you imagine the awful temptations? There are people who battle the idea, like pedophiles, that awesome, awful temptation, wickedness, demonic. The Bible said Jesus was tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. He experienced in this episode, but then part of the extent is the duration of his temptation. You know how long he tempted him? Till he went to the cross. He battled him. He battled him in the Garden of Eden. Satan was relentless, and he doesn't give up. He doesn't quit. And Jesus experienced every kind of temptation anybody ever has, yet without sin. He didn't sin. Why? Because he said, I've come to give my life a ransom. The wages is the ransom. The wages of sin is death. Payment on sin is death. And if he had one sin in his body on that cross, his death would not be sufficient to save us. One sin. You mean just one sin, Brother Ben? Yeah, James said if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty of all of it. Jesus had absolutely no sin when he was on that cross. None. And when he died, he lived a life and he had confronted every temptation you have or will ever be tempted with. And he did not sin. And when he died on that cross, he died a sinless sacrifice, and his blood cleanses me and you from all of our sin. There's more to this thing than just reading these few little verses. I want to deal with it, and that's going to take me a long time. Because number one, if he dealt with Jesus for his lifetime, he'll deal with you for your lifetime, through your lifetime. You'll be in the nursing home. He'll still be tempting you. He will. Satan's not going to quit. He'll still be after you, wanting to destroy you, defeat you, defile you, damn you if he can. But Jesus came, he said this, to destroy the works of the devil. Thank God for that. You say, Brother Billy, it's too late. I've already sinned. Why, sure you have. Sure you have. He considers our frame that we're but dust. And the Holy Ghost said through Paul, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's not surprised about your sin. He's not, blown away with your sin. He's not overwhelmed with your sin, the awfulness of your sin. He knew all about it. Matter of fact, I say it every Sunday, he bore all of your sin in his own body on the tree. Jesus Christ came to die for sinners and to pay the sin debt. Now, if you've ever been tempted, you better make sure you are here to hear the rest of the story, because you're going to have to face it the rest of your life. You especially need to know how to handle it, or what you do about it, or the escape of temptation. Will you bow your heads in prayer? I want to do what I said. I'm going to try to get you through and get you out of here so you can get home and get ready for vacation Bible school. For our guests and visitors, we're sure glad you're here. Jesus Christ was a wonderful teacher, greatest teacher ever lived. He was the greatest healer. He could heal all manner of diseases, any disease, he could heal every one of them. He was beyond healing. He could resurrect. And he resurrected Lazarus after he'd been dead for 4 days. He was a great teacher. He was a great example, a great God. But that's not why he came. He said it, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. You may admire him for his teaching. You may need him for his healing. But my dear friend, in order to go to heaven, you must recognize him as Jesus, the Son of God, who bore your sin in his own body on that tree and died for you. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, the Bible said. Repent means to turn 180 degrees and turn to Christ and receive him as your Savior and Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever genuinely repented of your sin and received Christ as your Savior? If not, here in the building and in the media audience, I beg you be reconciled to God. Turn to him now by faith and receive Jesus as your Savior. What happens, Brother Billy, if we sin as a Christian? We have broken fellowship with our Lord. Bible said, if we say we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. You may have sinned in some area. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. Satan tempted you and you yielded. But the good news is this, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. You can have victory over it. God will give you victory. I know what God put on my heart this morning. That was to share this with you. And now it's your time to respond to him. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will convict you of your sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he'll draw you by his grace, and you'll take a step of faith and say, I want to be saved. I want to trust Jesus Christ. You can turn to him right now, right where you are. So, God, forgive me of my sin and save me right now. Accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. If you have questions, some way to help with some dear men who will pray with the men, ladies with the ladies, and I'll meet you here if I can help you. But maybe God's been dealing with you. And I'd like to ask you this morning especially, will you remember our friends, Brother Wayne, Warren, and Jackie, and their friends, Bill and Lenora, and all that they're facing, the battles of Satan in their life and in their area of ministry down at Davis. I mean, it's epidemic. I wish you could have heard the heart cry of Jackie last night on the answer machine, or Brother Wayne yesterday on the phone. They're good, godly people. They walk with God. They're always rejoicing, always upbeat, and they love the Lord. He's a great prayer warrior. But they're carrying such a burden for that area down there in our area as well. Maybe some of you feel led of the Lord, come get around the altar and pray for that. But I want to invite you to stand with you. We're not giving a lengthy invitation, but I ask you to respond quickly right now. If you're not saved, you come right now and trust Christ. God led you to come. You come right now and get around this altar. We're going to have a couple of quick announcements, and we're going to go. But Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God, the Holy Ghost, to do a work. Pray, God, you'd make it real to people. Oh, God, deal with their heart. God, help us. Lord Jesus, this is something we deal with every day. Regardless of how old we are, how young we are, we're going to be facing temptation every day. And God, you can help us. And I pray, God, that, Lord, you help people, Lord, to know what the Bible said, what the Word of God says, and they'll find some help. But God, I'm thankful that, God, you consider our frame that we're but dust. And often when we are tempted, we have failed. But God, you're a God of grace, and you have promised to forgive us and to cleanse us and restore us. I pray, God, you do that now for many of our friends.